Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance with the stars up above in your eyes. A fantabulous night to make romance beneath the cover of October skies.
What's up? What's up, everybody? Welcome aboard to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz hanging out with you. And man, oh man, are we. What the hell is going on here? It is just amazing. You know, I'll tell you, I've been doing this a long time, and, you know, I've seen all kinds of markets, and I've seen all kinds of information, and what really gets to me is the, this time it's different mentality. Where does anybody ever think that this time is going to be different? I really don't understand how we, the American people, can think that it's going to be different. Where in your mind, where in your viewpoint, can it be different than any other time in history? We know for a fact that we are spending more money that we're taking in, okay? We know what's going on, okay? So where do we think it's going to be different? Yeah, the stock market is going up, but how many people are really benefiting from the rise in the stock market, okay? This market, okay, now again, all markets are the same. Again, I don't want to get too far off tangent, but this market's the same as any others, but this market is being manipulated. The footprints that we talk about often here are still being played the way they should be, okay? When we came back up to that level after the August 24th punishing, okay, and then we rallied back up and we got into consolidation for an extended period of time and we broke out to the upside. That's perfectly natural footprint. But forget about the actual trading part of the market and the investing part, but how can we not see that numbers are artificial? Can we not see that we've got a bunch of morons running the ship? I mean, you know, I did an article. Some guy called me one time and caught me off guard from a newspaper, and we're talking about high school because I have the high school program, okay, and I teach financial literacy at the high school level. And my quote is, we're raising a generation of morons, okay? Just like Albert Einstein said that back, you know, 50 years ago, that we're in technology is creating a bunch of idiots. Okay, do we not see the potential problems that we are creating? Is it not having somebody who has a clue, from Obama to Yellen to any one of them? Again, I don't want to pick on President Obama. Again, I don't care for him. I don't think he's done a good job. I think that he's an antagonistic person that is trying to secretly take over the world in his way. But can we not see that the policies that are being put forth do not work? Where is it that you can be continuing to overspend your budget? And where is it said that the Federal Reserve should be watching the stock market every single day? Now, you can tell me all you want that you don't think that they're watching, okay? But you can bet your ass that they are watching this market on a daily basis. When do you remember ever hearing from the Federal Reserve, okay? I mean, now again, I don't remember ever hearing this much. I remember waiting for Greenspan, waiting for Volcker, but they didn't talk. It was a surprise as what it was going to be, instead of creating the mass confusion that they create now. Because every day you get some member of the Fed, voting or not, which surprises me as well, talking stuff about, well, should we raise? Should we raise? We're strong enough to raise. We're not strong enough to raise. Let's take our time. I don't know. I'm not sure. This is like a bad TV show, okay? And it's a movie that you'd want to walk out of because you're looking at ignorance, okay? Now, again, I don't say that they're not smart people, but the ignorance that they are portraying, the ignorance that they spew out there makes absolutely no sense. Again, anybody who believes that the Fed has done a wonderful job and continues to do so, I think that you're very rich or you're not looking at it correctly. Because I can't see under any circumstances where after the initial failure and the bailouts, I mean, we're on about our 10th program some way. And by the way the markets have been trading, it looks like there's another program on its way out. Okay, now again, I'm expressing my opinion and obviously everybody's entitled to theirs, so I have no problem. But certainly, you cannot tell me that you think they've done a phenomenal job. And I hear pundit after pundit kiss the ass of the Federal Reserve. Maybe it's because they want to get interviews with them. I don't know. Okay, but I refuse to kiss anybody's ass, especially ones that I believe are destroying the American way, that they are destroying the dreams and the hopes of the entrepreneur while destroying the older retirees or close to retirees that are no longer employable. Now, if you can live with that, okay, if you can live with the lowest job participation rate since 1977, if you can live with having your father, your brother, yourself, somebody in your family who's 45 to 65, unemployed because we can't get the tax code right, because we can't get major corporations to bring back their money to the United States of America because of the tax problem, and we can't give them a tax holiday to get them to bring this money back and put people to work, okay? Well, I guess that we're on different pages, because I will tell you this, okay? I'm disgusted with what I have watched and what's going on. I am disgusted that I have to hear from some stupid member of the Federal Reserve every single day. And the problem is, not one says the same thing. It's always on edge. And you can bet when the market's going lower, we're not going to raise rates, or that'll be the type of message they're sending. And when the market's going higher, well, maybe we can raise this year. Okay, I again will stand on my point that they are not raising, that they have no intention of raising, because they believe in that ridiculous Keynesian theory. And again, I'm not saying that anything's any better or worse, okay? Because I don't get to experience the others. But what I do get to experience is problems that have not been addressed by the government, by the Federal Reserve, by anybody. And why do you think that we see Illinois can't even pay their lottery, okay? Now, where's all that money going, okay? That is supposed to be self-funding. You spend money on a lottery ticket and it's supposed to pay for itself. Can you imagine going to the racetrack, betting on a horse and winning and say, oh, I'm sorry, we can't pay you. We don't have the money. Are you kidding me? So now Illinois is defaulting on their lottery? I mean, we see this happening all over the place. This is not a new situation. This is ugly. This is a major concern that you need to be concerned about. Because as it starts at the state level, you don't think it can work its way up to the Federal Reserve level? I mean, excuse me, the federal government level? I can always confuse the government and the Fed, although the Fed is not a government agency. It certainly acts like one. And they certainly seem like they have an agenda. But anyways, hey, get a copy of my book. It's free. Shipping and handling only. Go to thebubbashow.org right now. Get Bubba's Guide to Trading Options. You can get it right now. Again, I'll send it to you for free. It is $21.99 at Amazon, but I'll send it to you for $9.95. That covers the shipping, handling, and the cost of the envelope. And remember, Bubba for president. This is The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz will be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz. All right, turn off the lights. We gonna lose our minds tonight.
Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz, and an old friend, a guy I couldn't get through to for a while. See him all the time on the trading floor, but been extremely busy building a great business. And it's our friend Bill Baruch from II Trader. What's up, Bill?
Hi, how are you doing? Thanks for having me on again.
It's great to have you, man. It's all, listen, I always have to have the sharpest people on the floor on my show, and you're one of them. So it's great to have you back. And so, Bill, let's just start right out. What are you seeing here in the overall markets? I mean, we've been in this like ridiculous up move, and I don't blame, you know, you can't predict markets specifically, but what is behind this unbelievable rally we have right now?
You know, the Fed is not going anywhere, and there's no fear in the market. It's there's no other place to put money. Everybody's seems to be jumping in. I'm not buying this rally though. I don't think it can hold. I think it's going to suck in some money, suck in some cash. But it's been an unbelievable push higher, and it's just been resilient. And it's bad news is good news. I mean, around the world, we've been getting poor data out of Japan, out of Europe, here in the United States, and it's all good news because that just means more quantitative easing, and the Fed and other central banks are not going anywhere.
So, you know, it's funny when we talk about this because, you know, I've said, I don't know, about 6 or 7 months ago. First of all, I said for the last 12 months that there is no way that they're raising rates. I don't give a shit what anybody says. They can talk all those stories they want. They're not raising rates. Do you agree?
You know, at this point, I am on that page. But the one thing that that really is most important is not the fact that if they raise it, it's that cloud, that dark cloud of uncertainty is going to continue to hang over the market. And, you know, as many of the Fed officials actually said, each meeting should be treated as a live meeting. And clearly, the market isn't treating it as such. I mean, we've got a meeting not too far away here on October 29th. And no, I don't expect them to raise rates. But at the same time, you know, each meeting should be treated as alive. I mean, especially you got December meeting coming around as well. But that's the thing is I don't think they'll raise it. And in really, some of the jobs data it questions early next year. But you know, we still have two payroll reports. We still have two payroll reports. And one November coming, and then one in December coming. And, you know, we've had two bad reports. Two's bad, but, you know, three's a trend. So I'm really looking to see how October jobs are, if we bounce back or not.
Well, let me ask you this question. I mean, we could talk about the job. Now, you're not old enough to remember, but I remember, Prince, we used to get 600,000, 800,000 jobs. Are you going to tell me that you're happy and satisfied with 200,000?
No, I'm not necessarily happy to see a 200,000. I mean, we 200,000 was a long breath away on the last two. But what we've been saying here at II Trader is that 200,000 jobs is the line in the sand. And as long as we show 200,000 jobs, that's growth. I mean, here's the thing is we have unemployment near 5%, and we have GDP at 3.7% last quarter. And if someone told you that, would you imagine that we're at a zero interest rate policy? And I'd say no. So, you know, I do think that, you know, inflation's lagging. There's some worries about emerging markets, and that's really what the Fed's worried about. But you know, as well, you know, you got the market back up here too. And the last meeting, that the market was in the tank, and now that we're back above 2,000 in the S&P, the Fed needs to wake up. And you know, at the same time, they do have to see where the growth is, and people should still treat each meeting as a live meeting.
And when you say a live meeting, what does that mean?
Interest rate rise is potentially there. No, I don't think it's in October. I don't think that's going to happen. But we do have to. You know, people can't let their arms down and just stand back and potentially think that that there's no chance that they raise rates. And you know, and if that's going to continue to be the way, then there will be some serious issues down the road. But the way the market is acting like it right now, you know, we have Goldman Sachs that came out with missed earnings. Up over 3%, the day they missed earnings, and banks turning around pretty strong too. So, earnings wise, I mean, it's nothing really to write home about, but the market really, it just keeps moving higher.
Especially on earnings that were already, the bar was already lowered dramatically. So Bill, before we continue on, I know what you guys do, but I want you to explain to everybody in the audience, what is II Trader? What do you guys do? And what's your game?
Well, II Trader is an independent IB. You know, we focus on clients that range from retail to institutional, and I say that because we don't discriminate. We have large clients as well as small clients, and we work with everybody and treat everybody the same, and that's important for us. What's most important too is the type of team that we have here, and we separate ourselves, we feel, from any other brokerage firm with the type of team that we have. People that understand the markets, people that love to work with their clients, and that's great too. One thing that's important that we feel is very important is our research. Each morning, we put together our in-house institutional style research. We have clients that love it, and they trade by it, and that's what's awesome. Too. It helps get a game plan together, and really we call it's like our journal, and be a trading journal, and that's where we're able, again, get our thoughts down and be able to kind of get a game plan on how to attack the day, and then our clients can engage us on how to explain some of the stuff how to act on certain things that we write, but also at the same time there's a very common misconception that. Being at II Trader and having an account at II Trader means that you have to work with somebody and you have to have a hands-on approach with the broker, and that is completely not the case. It's such a common misconception that we run across. Everybody thinks that you need to go with the E-Trades and the TD Ameritrades to be able to trade on your own. And no, we compete with those in the sense that we have comparable commissions, platforms for clients to work with that you can choose, which weapon you want to attack the market with when it comes to a platform. And, and we think that's also, very, very important to get out and for people to understand is that you don't need to be the small fish in a big pond, per se, because why do that when you can be the big fish in a small pond? And really, maybe somebody doesn't want to talk to somebody, and they're doing things on their own, and that's great. Do your thing, make your money, or and go through the market, go through your daily motions. But when that proverbial shoe drops, if there's a margin issue, look at August. The volatility that we had in August, September, that's basically still here. It's nice to have somebody to lean on, whether it's just a situation of dealing with margin or, hey, what's going on, what reports are coming out today, and they're more than welcome. Self-directed traders are more than welcome to contact our trade desk at any time. But, at the same time, we do work with clients hand in hand and that do want that full-on support. And they have a team here at II Trader that's going to help them. And the team is really what we want to get across is that it's not one individual person here at II Trader, because a lot of other firms, it's an individual in a room of 50 to 100 brokers, and everybody's competing for competing against everybody else, and here it's a team atmosphere, and that's what we really, really like most.
And listen, that's where you guys are. I know Oliver and I know you, and you guys got a good team. Now, do you manage futures, and do you guys do equities as well, or just futures?
We do just futures. Okay. We have clients that trade just on a daily basis, regular futures strategies. We have managed futures divisions, a division as well, where we help clients work into find a portfolio of managed futures that helps suit them best. So we got it all here, and on top of that, we do work with several FCMs, and then one of the most common questions that I get from potential clients is why should I go to II Trader, a smaller firm? No, it's not the case. Is a smaller firm handling my money? No, that isn't the case. We work with FCMs. We work with publicly traded companies that are FCMs, and those FCMs, they're the ones that hold
you'll
the money.
You'll finish answering. Hold on, Mr. Brooke. You'll answer this more on the other side of the break. I'm with Bill Baroque from II Trader. Great IB. They do a lot of good stuff, and you can catch Bill a lot. He's on a lot of the major networks as well. but he is the head trader, and he is the boss, and he's our friend, so it's good to have him. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go check out thebubbashow.org, and we're going to step by here for a break, and we'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back.
How about you?
Trust. For nearly four decades, that is the reputation Roberts & Roberts Brokerage has forged with their customers. Now, with their full e-commerce website, rrbi.co, it's easier than ever to buy or sell precious metals via Bitcoin or major credit card. Visit them online at rrbi.co or call 800-874-9760 to speak with an experienced professional today. Roberts & Roberts, when you're serious about precious metals.
What's up, everybody? Bubba here. It's finally here, the long-awaited Bubba Report, bringing you news from all the trading floors across the globe. We've got Scott Cialati, the cow guy, as seen on CNBC, Fox, and Bloomberg. We've got Keith Bliss, CNBC, Fox, and a floor trader at the New York Stock Exchange. We've got The Badger, who writes the hot topics in the political news. We've got myself putting together my own unique indexes that will help you give you a better idea of what's going on in the market. All you need to do to get a hold of the Bubba Report is go to thebubbashow.org and sign up for the newsletter, or you can email me direct at bubba@thebubbashow.org. We want you to have this report because we've got over 150 years of experience talking about markets, getting ready for the trading, and puts you in the best position to have successful. So email me at bubba@thebubbashow.org to get a copy of your report, or go right to the website, thebubbashow.org. Make sure you get it. It's a must-have for every investor and trader. The Bubba Report.
Welcome back to The Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with our friend Bill Baruch from II Trader, II Captain. So, Bill, you were go ahead and finish your answer about the the firms and you know how you guys work it, and then I'm going to ask you about some markets as well.
Well, you know, a common question we get is why go with a small firm? A small firm's handling my money. No, that's not the case. We work with FCMs, and FCMs, a futures clearing merchant, and futures commission merchant, and they're the ones that hold the money. You know, we have partnered relationships with publicly traded firms that hold the money, and you're not sending your money to II Trader, but we're the brokerage firm helping manage the accounts, helping clients. With research in the support that they need on a daily basis or whenever they may need.
So, everything is insured. Everything's perfect and it's great. And they're great guys to check out. How would somebody get a hold of you, Bill, if they wanted to call in and check it out?
Well, our phone number is 800-416-5373. That's the easiest way to call in, catch somebody on our team. You know, any questions that they have, who we are, what we do, what we want to focus on, or bounce some questions off, in the markets off of us. I mean, that they're looking at the market. You know, the call our phone, call our number, but also the our website, very user friendly, iitrader.com. You can go on the website. We have a page on there where you can submit a question that we'll get back to you within a day, the same day, questions on the markets, or sign up for a free trial of our research, our research that goes out every single day. It covers gold, S&P, crude oil, euro, 30-year bond, silver, natural gas, and then there's the grains. You know, we've got to cover the grains, corn, wheat, and soybeans, our fundamental approach. The fundamentals, what's moving the market today, but also how the technicals are going to get involved in our proprietary 1, 2, and 3-star support and resistance levels.
Great. All right. So let's talk about, first of all, let's talk about gold. Gold, it looks to me, is really starting to try to break out here. What are you guys seeing?
You know, gold is trying to break out. I mean, what we're seeing, though, is, one approach I've always had with gold here in this bear trend is that when everybody starts to wake up to gold, that's when you want to be the seller. And right now, you got RSIs at 70, near 70. You know, this, and on top of that, you got the 1190 levels, very crucial. You got the 200-day moving average. The market moved out above last week. And, you know, the thing is that, as we discussed earlier in the show, that no one's afraid of the Fed hiking rates. But, as it's more of a buy the rumors, sell the fact. And I do think gold is going to get some sort of pullback here up at this level. It's overbought. It's starting to get a little too much attention for the wrong reasons. And at the same time, you know, the dollar's getting beaten down. And you know, the dollar is at the lowest levels. It's seeing the lowest levels since August. But you know, for the same reasons. And you know, again, that's kind of the sell the rumor. And then you got to buy the fact that the Fed is, I think, going to treat these meetings as a live meeting. They're not going to open their hand up and say we aren't going to raise rates. I think everybody really expects that they're not going to raise the rate in October. I think that's very clear. I mean, it'd be a joke for somebody to really going to raise rates in October.
If they raise rates in October, I'll quit trading. How's that?
Yeah.
I'll quit. I've been doing it for 36 years. I'll quit forever.
Yeah, but in come December though, it has to be on the table, and I think to keep the market straight, it has to be on the table. You know, you got two payroll reports that are ahead of it, and you know, I think gold again, it's got a little too much attention at these levels, and that's you got to sell into the strength. It may be a tough trade, and sometimes the toughest trades are the ones that pan out. It's all about managing the risk. You know, you got to trust the technicals. Got a lot of resistance up here, and again, you know, we do like selling into the strength.
Understood. Now, tell me, you used a couple of terms when you were here, so let's first talk about RSI. What is RSI?
The relative strength index, and you know, with a lot of these markets pushing directionally, and then you know some consolidating, but you get some directional moves. You know, I like to look at the 14-day RSI, and you know, when you start seeing that upwards towards 70, it's like a rubber band, and like where gold is, and it's stretched too much. Or on the other flip side, you know, when it starts to get down towards, I even like to see it, you know, below 30, but you know, 20 is going to be, you know, is really an extreme move that we've seen some different markets get down below 30, and again, that's going to be the rubber band type factor where it's got to kind of come back in a little bit, and it's just a little overstretched. So that's the RSI, something that you got to watch in these markets. You know, if you're going to be on them.
Right. No, that's great. I mean, again, you know, obviously, you know, not everybody out there understands. Now, do you use a number of different indicators? Do you have a proprietary indicator, or do you guys just kind of, you know, use the charts and use a couple of indicators to help you out a little bit?
Well, you know, our guys here at IA Trader, you know, we have a passion for the markets. We live and breathe this stuff, and that's why we encourage anybody that they want to call in just to talk the markets with us. You know, we're here, but you know, we live and breathe this stuff, and you know, there is a feel to it that you want in really making a lot of the trading decisions. But you know, we incorporate a lot of different proprietary technicals. Some just as simple as Fibonacci retracements and moving averages. But but the most important thing is when you getting that type of feel that I'm referring to as well, you're watching things, you're continuously, you know, watching where the new trend lines are setting up or new breakouts or breakdowns are setting up, and you got to it's a feel that you get while you're watching the market on a daily basis.
All right, so now we talked earlier, now I'm gonna say in the commodity field for a little bit here, the grain markets, what are you seeing there?
You know, the grain markets, I mean, with the dollar down a little bit, you know, have been, you know, they've had a tough time over the last couple of years, but they're starting to get some life, you know, from the lows, but with the weaker dollar. You know, one thing about II Trader, though, is, you know, we don't sit here and really try to pretend to know everything. You know, we have, you know, I focus mostly on the S&P, gold, crude oil, but we have the team here, and you know, I got guys that focus on just the grains, and that's where, you know, really I believe we accelerate really is the fact that we're not one broker pretending to know all markets, you know, and it's, you know, we focus on on a certain few markets. And that's where, you know, where clients can get the more hands-on touch with somebody that's focusing on that direct market, and then it can work with a couple of people here.
Great. And so as we look, you know, around the globe, and you know, you mentioned earlier that the troubles and all the other problems, and yet the market resists because it's got, of course, you've said the Fed. But what are you looking for? What is Bill Brook looking for in this market and in the equities, and what is your, what would be a key play you'd be looking to make around now?
You know, I think the gold is going to be a good trade. I think it's going to get, I think that, you know, you want to look to be seller into strength. You know, the crude oil as well is something that's been a very interesting range trade. You know, it's had a tough time getting out above 50. We've been saying, you know, when the market was in the low 40s, we really feel the bottom's in, and now that it's retreated back a little bit off of $50, we still hold that belief. There's a tremendous amount of support at the 44.70 level, 45 bucks. We just went through option expiration, the November contracts rolling last week. But, you know, I do think that the bottom in crude oil is in, and you know, some of the really the interesting things that, we, as well, going back to gold, are things like the gold-silver ratio that you want to watch, too. And, you know, things like that ratio itself has been accelerated a lot. So you want to keep an eye on things like that. The S&P, though, it's been a choppy market, you know, and the fact that it's come off those lows, but it took a lot of time. It was August lows. It took a lot of time to get off of it, and the fact that we didn't have that V-type recovery, I do think it's going to make it really difficult for the market to continue to accelerate. Now, you know, on top of that, too, I was a believer back going into that September rate meeting that once the Fed should hike rates, and as we got closer and, you know, days closer, I realized it wasn't going to happen. But, you know, I was a big advocate that they needed to get it done to remove the type of uncertainty that's going to continue to hang over the markets. And that is going to be, I think, the issue in the equity market going forward, is that there's going to be this continued just dark cloud of uncertainty that's going to be overhanging in the market. And once the Fed finally, does, whether it's December, whether it's the first quarter next year, then I do think the market would have a downdraft and result directly from that. But then the market will be able to move higher, I think, on its own. I mean, we're talking a quarter point. We're talking really, I mean, basically a policy that still is zero interest rates, essentially. And, you know, I think that's something that where they just need to move off of that in order to kind of move forward. And, you know, my belief was back in September, and yeah, I was wrong that they didn't, but, you know, my belief is back in September, that if they were able to actually do that, you know, we would have had the downdraft. I mean, the market fell, I think, like 6% after that September meeting, rallied to a new high, and fell 6% after that September meeting. And the market base, and now, you know, we're back towards those highs, back at those highs on from that September meeting. But now think about it: if they we would have had the same type of drawdown at 6%.
Bill, you hold the thought. We're going to step out here for a quick break. You're doing great. You're ripping them up, and I'm having a good time listening to you. This is the Bubba Show. I am with my friend Bill Baruch from II Trader, and I think he's giving you some great information and some great understanding for the markets. We're going to come back with Bill right after the break. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. Make sure you go check out thebubbashow.org and go check out our new hedging program, as well as my book for free. All you have to do is pay shipping and handling. It's in the store. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll be right back after the break. The Bubba Show. Welcome back to the Bubba Show. Todd Bubba Horowitz with my friend Bill Baruch from II Trader, iitrader.com. Managed futures, regular futures, small guys, little guys, they do it all. So, Bill, we had to cut you off, but you're on a roll, so go ahead and please pick it up where you left off, please.
Yeah, I left off with just talking about the September no action from the Fed and how, you know, that's going to create a larger issue down the road that we haven't seen yet because the market's back at those September highs. But the market corrected 6% or so from those September after the September meeting with the Fed and no action. Now imagine this: if they had hiked rates a little bit, you know, how much of a correction we've gotten. Probably the same 6%. You know, and here's the thing, is now a lot of companies have been waiting, you know, for because believe me, companies are waiting for a hike, you know, would have been able to gotten that out of the way. We would have been able to, I think, see the market recover and have a strong Christmas rally after a liftoff. And now, you know, hey, we may be setting up for a Christmas rally, but with no liftoff, and now we go into December with the potential, depending how some of the data comes out over the next, you know, 2 months, that, hey, maybe, you know, this will they or won't they continued discussion will continue to be that cloud, that dark cloud overhanging in the markets, and it's going to make it difficult to really have that extended rally. You know, the scary thing is it's continued bad news that's moving the market higher. I mean, there was a stretch in early October that I think it was four or five just awful reports out of Germany, and at 2 a.m. in the market here at Chicago time, you would see that the S&P, the DAX, they would lift off because of the speculation that the ECB will put more stimulus out there. And they may. I mean, they're locked in through September 2016, and they may extend that. But the market is continuing to love this. You know, the Fed going to continue to be there. There's no fear in the market. And, you know, at some point, you know, again, it's going to you know, cause an issue.
So, I mean, we're basically going up on an air bubble. I mean, now, I say that this market is an asset bubble. What do you say?
Mm-hmm. I agree. You know, I had enjoyed, you know, the rally, you know, from, you know, most of the two, you know, for a lot of the, you know, a while. It was a nice little move, a nice big move. And, you know, I really did expect from, you know, through much of this year, much of 2015, that we were going to look to raise rates at some point. They dropped the ball in June. They dropped the ball in September. And now, I mean, I know it's been a very hated rally. And, you know, at this point, too, I mean, I just don't think this market is you know, conducive for the long term. I don't think there's going to be. I mean, in heck, we may rally. This market has a mind of its own, and you know, one of the things that if you're selling this thing right here, you know, you got to continue to know your technicals, know your limits, know your risk, because the market will remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent, and that's one thing you got to live by when trading, because this thing, you know, it may continue to rise, and it's going to, you know, and it is a bubble. I agree with you 110% that at this point, this is probably the worst it's been on a bubble scenario, because, you know, it's you know, we're repeating, you know, before 2010 where bad data is lifting this thing up, and it's constant bad data that's lifting this up, and now to see Europe rally on bad data, and, you know, we wake up with bad data out of Japan, and the Nikkei, you know, reverses 2%. I mean, this is the best definition of a bubble that we've seen since interest rates have been at zero.
So, as a trader and as a guy that manages money and does all those things, from an outside perspective, how would you grade the job that the Federal Reserve has done at overall managing this last 7 years?
Yeah, I do. It's a tough question. It really is. And, you know, like I said, I did for much of 13 and 14 sit back and was impressed with, you know, yeah, and the market rallied, and it was a big move in the market, and I think they handled things well, and I really do think the ball was began to drop in June of this year. Everybody has to remember the quarter one GDP. It was awful, but you know, then they came out and started talking about the way it's measured is wrong, and they need to change the way it's measured, and you know, and it gave the economy an uplift, and then once they actually saw the data coming around in the spring, the Fed had basically a get out of jail free card. They had it in their hands where they could have raised the rates in June. You know, so they missed. They dropped the ball there, and now you know things are way worse off in the economy than they were in the first quarter of this year. And the problem is, it's that, and I refer to it as a dark cloud. It's like a rainy cloud that just continues to hang over the market, and it's not going anywhere right now because the Fed hasn't acted, and that's the issue. So now things are worse off, but. You know, it comes down to how our data comes out and through the rest of this quarter four, and I'm hoping it's good. I'm hoping it's good because if it is, then it gives them some ammo to potentially act. Though I even at this point I doubt that they will, and that's why I think at this point I go from grading them with an A to now it's they're failing.
Well, I think they failed miserably. I think they pissed this whole thing away. And I think Bernanke, when he choked in 2013 and let the street overtake him, I mean, I find it a big problem to me that the Fed day trades the stock market, because that is not anywhere is that written that they're supposed to be worried about what the stock market does or does not do. So I think that's a problem with the overall situation. But of course, it doesn't matter. You made the comment of the market's going to be irrational, which is correct, and you cannot pick tops and bottoms. You have to use your technicals, as you said. So we've got a couple minutes left, but if you were to tell an outside investor, what would be the best, if you could pick one technical indicator that's publicly out there, not any of your proprietary stuff, what would be the best indicator that somebody should use?
I do think that if somebody's going to only use, obviously you want to use more than a few, and I do think that RSI is something that if you're looking at a chart and you're looking at a daily, you want to look at that RSI, as definitely one key of a few indicators that at a minimum you must use, because you don't want to be selling when the market is just too oversold, or you don't want to be buying when the market is just too overbought, at least as an entry point. And even days when the market continues high, let's say the market continues higher, any market continues higher, and the RSI is at that 70 level, the next day still it may be higher, and the next day it may be higher. The high probability is that the market will have a pullback, at least of some bit. Maybe not enough, but it may be some bit in order for you to find a basing in order to get in. And that RSI going from 70 down to 60 to 55, and if you're convinced the markets continue to go higher, you wait for that RSI to kind of come down just a little bit. Now, I think you should use a lot more indicators than just that, but I do think if you're going to be looking at things like the RSI, you're going to help yourself out quite a bit.
Bill Baruch from II Trader, thank you so much for being on the show today. We appreciate having you.
Thanks for having me. I'm real happy to be on.
It's great to have you, Bill. Thank you so much. That was our friend Bill Baruch from II Trader. And again, if you're into futures or managed futures or things like that, they do things like that. But again, I'm into self-management. I'm into guarding my own portfolio. And I want you to be able to do the same thing. And we are offering right now a 5-session training that will teach you how to hedge your portfolio against major losses. It will teach you how to be in the market all the time. Instead of these idiots telling you that you should sell everything and go into gold, sell everything, go into gold, or sell everything, go into bonds, I want to share with you how you can stay in the equity market, collect your dividends, collect your money, and knowing that you've got a couple of percent potential risk to the downside, but yet you will still participate in the upside. You can go check that out right now at thebubbashow.org or bubbatrading.com. Either one, you can go check it out. But again, that'll do it for today. I'm on your side. I'm here to protect you. I am wound up today, but we'll have to save some of this energy for tomorrow. This is The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. We'll see you back here tomorrow, same time, same station. The Bubba Show, Todd Bubba Horowitz. That tonight's gonna be a good
night. Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.